Good, how you doing?
Good. Hey, are there challenges in seeing and getting the ball to smaller receivers, guys like D'Anthony Thomas and Albert Wilson, as opposed to guys like Travis Kelce and Chris Conley? I mean, is it
different in different situations, it can become, you know, there's certain routes and against certain looks where, yeah, you'd love to have a bigger body to throw one in. And at the same time, though, there's routes and there's circumstances where you love their quickness and agility and their ability to separate and get open. So, yeah, it just depends. Depends on the circumstances. Depends on the route you have on. Certainly, like a guy like D'Anthony, there's some things that he can do that bigger guys just can't, you know, because of his quickness and speed. Yeah, then obviously there's a give and take there, like I said. So depending on the situation, depending on the route, there's advantages to having a bigger guy. There's an advantage to having a quicker guy, maybe a little smaller, that can separate.
Do you feel like you need to be even more accurate with the ball when you're throwing to smaller guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly everybody, depending on their – they all got different targets, and they're all different with the football. Like I said, I think – depending on the route, yeah, I mean, there's sometimes you are going to have to be more accurate. But at the same time, I mean, a guy like D'Anthony, if you are on point, you got a chance for a home run at any point, you know. There's that advantage as well. So, if you are accurate with the football and you can get him out of breaks and things like that, then you got the chance for a home run shot every time.
You know what five guys are going to line up for the end Saturday? Or Friday?
What's that?
You know what five guys are going to line up for the
end Friday? I think I got an idea, but... it's not on my plate of responsibilities, you know, and I got a lot of faith in a lot of those guys. Those guys have been shuffling around all camp. They all step in and do a great job. They all take a lot of pride in what they're doing. So, whoever's out there, we'll be all right.
As a quarterback, how do you feel about that? You constantly change in front?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of it. I think over the years you get used to having, I mean, it's just the way the offensive line is. I mean, guys are going to get banged up. I mean, it's so physical down in there. It's impossible to go the whole year with five guys. So, I mean, you're going to have to be flexible. And certainly this time of year, you have to be even more. I mean, we're in a point where we're trying to find out who's got what and where we're at, and, you know, and you're testing guys. So there's going to be a little movement there. You got to be fluid. And, you know, and like I said, for me, it's I got enough on my plate to go out and try to just, you know, run the offense and got a lot of faith in those guys. So.
Coaches ever ask you in meetings, like, what do you think? Do you feel comfortable with or anything?
No. I mean, maybe the center. The other positions, I would be a little silly for me to try to evaluate tackles and guards, and, you know, I don't block, so, yeah.
Sorry. What would you say distinguishes Jamal's game? It just seems like he's so versatile, the blend of things he has.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think the versatility is unique at this level. There's just not many guys that are that versatile, that are so strong across the board in so many facets of the game. You know, he can run outside the tackle, obviously with the tremendous speed, but I think the toughness and quickness to run in between the tackles in the passing game, I mean, I think it speaks for itself. The guy's one of the top weapons in the league. Takes a lot of pride in his run blocking. I mean, he takes pride in the situational football, goal line, short yardage. I kind of said it before. I mean, there's just not many guys that can do what he does all the time. You know, most of the times it's platoon and you're pulling guys in and out, and you got situational backs and things like that, and Jamal just can do it all and does it all at such a high level, which is a real rarity.
When did you guys know you were going to go up top to Mac?
Coach had kind of let us know a few days before that he was thinking about it. You know, I think almost just kind of set the tone a little bit. And then certainly the day before when we got the openers, knew we were going to take the shot. So. Yeah, absolutely. He loves it. I mean, it's here and there. He all of a sudden, kind of when you're least expecting it, he comes up with one, and I don't know where they come from. But they're fun. I mean, as a play caller, he sets. It's not just plays he's calling. There's kind of an unwritten deal there that rubs off on the huddle, rubs off on the guy, and the attitude that comes with those plays. It says something, and I think guys really like it and feed off it. Yeah, well, I'm glad not to be out of the dorm bed. That'd be good. But yeah, I've always enjoyed this time up here. It's fun, a lot of fun. We have the fans coming up. They bring a lot of energy to practice. It's a special time to be with your teammates up here and really kind of get close because we are away from our families. So when we do get downtime, you know, you're hanging out with each other, you're spending time with each other, kind of becoming a team. And so a special time. Certainly, you know, we're still kind of a little bit in training camp mode, though, with the preseason going, even though we're breaking. But, yeah, so, yeah, kind of bittersweet. You know, you're happy to get out of here, but at the same time, yeah, you know, it's a fun time up here.
What are you looking, game one to game two improvement?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not turn the ball over. Would be the big one. But I think same thing I said. I mean, you want to go out and execute. You want to have some success. You want to score some points. You want to put some drives together. You know, things are going to happen. You know, this is a time that you're working out some of that stuff. Yeah, you're going out there, let your fundamentals take over. You know, go out and make some plays, get in a rhythm.
Yeah, would it be easier to get in a rhythm, be on the field longer?
You want to sustain some drives. I mean, we third down for that first group, we weren't very good. You know, we got ourselves into a third and long, and then obviously had the turnover, and then that two-third been pretty decent and couldn't convert, you know, and really kind of held us up. You know, so obviously I think that's an area for improvement.
What sense do you have now as to the increased speed that you have available offensively?
What kind of – I mean, certainly you feel good when – you know, I'm very aware of the guys stepping in the huddle and that all five guys are very capable of making plays that are going to touch the football, you know, and on any given play it's just trying to find that matchup, and you feel good about – it's good. You feel good about just letting your reads take over. You know, you're not worried about matchups because you feel good about a lot of those matchups, you know. And really you're just kind of letting your read progressions take over and throw the football where it's supposed to go. And we got a lot of guys that can make plays. So I don't really have to worry about matchups and things like that.
How comfortable is it for you, though, when you have a guy on the field that can take the top off the defense, that can stretch that field and gives you more opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, speed, you just can't teach speed. I mean, you can't, it's a factor that has to be respected. You know, so when you have guys on the field that can run, I mean, you see it. You see the respect that it gets, you know, and it opens up a lot of things. I mean, certainly you want to be able to stretch the field a lot of different ways. And when you got a guy that can do it faster, that's even better, you know, because obviously the quicker you can do it, the better. You know, there's a give and take between holding onto the football back there and stretching the field. So, it's great.
As part of the receiving group now, as we've seen in practice several times, what's your 40 time?
What's my 40 time?
Yeah, you've been catching some passes.
Yeah, not as fast as those guys. It's been a while since I ran a 40. So, yeah.
Last one, Adam.
Alex, when you were with the 49ers, did you guys ever have one of those deals where you practiced against another team?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, for quite a few years there, went and practiced against the Raiders up in Napa.
Did you find those were more beneficial, less beneficial than any other practice? How would you describe that?
Yeah, there's probably advantages and disadvantages to it. I think there's an advantage that you're getting to practice against unscouted looks. You know, by the end of camp here, we know each other so well, and they've seen plays a handful of times. So you kind of get some unrealistic things, guys jumping things or doing this and that. You know each other. You know things are coming. It's not necessarily the case in real football. You know, and it's nice sometimes to go against different people and you just go out and play, especially when it's in a practice environment. Sometimes it's not necessarily a preseason game. You know, you can kind of go out and let it go. At the same time, there is some – I've been part of it that you do get – some side stuff going on. I mean, you get a lot of talking, you get a lot of jabbing, guys going back and forth. There can be skirmishes and things like that, so it can be distractions in some ways.
Cool. Okay.
No, QBs were always off limits, so it was never live.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.